This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
It is Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, the ESPN app, and your smart speaker, Bob Schusen, sitting in for the guys today on ESPN Radio. Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests on the Barton Hahn Show appear via the Goodyear Hotline. We are going to fire some general managers today, potentially, in the NFL. That is the hot topic right now everywhere in sports. It seems to come back to free agency in the NFL. I have never seen so many quarterbacks moving around in the National Football League and at the same time having almost no fan bases happy by any of the quarterbacks that are going anywhere. And we'll get to that coming up. Obviously, I call the Jets on ESPN Radio in New York at 98.7. And it seems like the Jets are kind of at the center spoke of the wheel to all of these stories. So we'll get to that. We'll kick it right off with Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. There was a lot of quarterback movement yesterday. And to me, the way that some of the quarterback movement yesterday was portrayed, I was confused by. You know, the Jets right now have Sam Darnold. That is a trade chip. I know there's some negative momentum with Sam Darnold around the NFL based on the fact that, you know, the perception of him right now is maybe his trade value isn't so high. And we want to get to you as well at 888-729-3776. Andy Dalton ends up in Chicago, and obviously Bears fans are up in arms about that. We're going to get to that in a second. Ryan Fitzpatrick signs a contract in Washington. How do Washington fans feel about that? We'll get to that in a second. The way that those moves are being portrayed is almost as if, though, those teams are now done. You know, the Andy Dalton deal in Chicago was juxtaposed against a possible trade for Russell Wilson with Seattle, as now since that's off the table, the only place that Ryan Pace has to go is to Andy Dalton. And that led to a lot of people in Chicago being very upset about how the Bears dealt with their quarterback future. And let's listen to a couple of the guys that obviously had this covered wall-to-wall yesterday and this morning. Adam Schefter tried to crystallize as best he could what was going on with Andy Dalton and what went wrong with Russell Wilson.
Well, I'm told that the Chicago Bears made a quote-unquote very aggressive pursuit. Those were the exact words that were used to me, a very aggressive pursuit to try to pry loose Russell Wilson from the Seahawks. And they were told that the Seahawks were not interested in trading Russell Wilson at this time. Andy Dalton was on the market. Andy Dalton had other interested teams. And the Bears decided to get a deal done with Andy Dalton today, that one-year contract that we talked about, $10 million, another few million in incentives, to become the Chicago Bears starting quarterback.
All right, so there it is. Andy Dalton is now the quarterback in Chicago. Where does that leave the Bears? Where else can they go at quarterback? Are they going to go anywhere else at quarterback? Lewis Riddick weighed in on that as well. The uphill climb that he believes the Bears have at quarterback with Andy Dalton.
Now you got Andy Dalton, who is by nature a conservative quarterback who doesn't want to make mistakes, who wants to hold on to the football, who when he does make mistakes, they're catastrophic. Everything else has to be perfect around him. And the Bears just aren't set up that way. So they're going to have to keep swinging at one of these guys until they absolutely tell him, leave us alone. Because I'll tell you this, 2021, it's an uphill climb. And Matt knows that, Matt Nagy, and Ryan Pace knows that. That's why they've been trying to do this. That's why they've been trying to pull this off some way, somehow. Because none of the other options were going to be good enough. They just weren't. I don't care if it was Andy Dalton, Ryan Fitzpatrick, whoever it wasn't going to be good enough. And that's why now Chicago Bears fans are sitting there going, you know, people are just like going, what do we do now? Do we already start looking to 2022?
Mike Tannenbaum also weighed in on what he thinks the Bears should do at quarterback. I'm interested to hear this as well, because Mike T has had a couple of interesting takes on the quarterback carousel that's dealing with not only the Jets, but also in New Orleans. I want to hear Mike T's take on what he thinks the Bears should do, whether it be Andy Dalton or going elsewhere in the future.
You have two options. Go to Europe, talk to Andrew Luck, convince him to come back, and everyone's going to be like, well, that's a long shot. Well, a decade ago, we ran the same play with Brett Favre at the Jets. Everyone said he'll never come to New York. We were able to convince him to come. It was a good decision. The other thing is Sam Darnold. Make a trade with the Jets for Sam Darnold. Let the Jets draft Zach Wilson and move on. But Luck and Darnold are the two quarterbacks that could save Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy's job.
All right. Now, I don't know what it says about me that finally, of all of the talking heads, Mike Tannenbaum went completely out to Pluto and talked about going to Europe and get, like, Andrew Luck off of a backpacking trail to bring him back after 2 years out of football and have him take over in Chicago. And at the same time as finally the guy that I think is bringing the Bears and maybe the Washington football team and maybe a couple of other clubs that are in search of a quarterback back to where everyone to me is massively still underrating a player that has talent, and that is Sam Darnold. All right, as the Jet play-by-play guy, my heart tells me that maybe the Jets will still look at Sam Darnold as their future. Maybe they would think about trading the number two pick. I think these are things that they're still discussing internally. My head tells me that they're probably eventually going to arrive at Zach Wilson, that they're probably going to draft a young quarterback, and they're probably going to move on from Sam Darnold. And as much as it pains me to say that, because I think the Jets have completely and totally hung Sam Darnold out to dry for 3 years. He has been given incredibly substandard protection and offensive line play, no run game, and outside of Jamison Crowder, really no receivers. No quarterback should miss Robbie Anderson as much as Sam Darnold missed Robbie Anderson. Okay, so he has not in any way been supported, propped up, and helped by the Jets. But to now act like he has zero talent, to me, is amazing. And that's why I am shocked, shocked, that if you're in Chicago or if you're in Washington, both of the signings of Dalton and Fitzpatrick are somehow being looked upon as not only something that stops you from doing something different this coming year, but crosses a guy like Darnold off your list. That was the way I heard it portrayed a decent amount yesterday and a decent amount this morning. And I'm stunned by that, I have to admit, because I think the Jets are in a really interesting position here. With this quarterback carousel, if you think about it, the Jets are kind of at the center of the wheel and all of the different spokes of this story touch them. Start with a Ryan Fitzpatrick or an Andy Dalton signing at two quarterback needy spots. Those are stopgap guys. Those are 1 year, $10 million deals, which is what you quarterback in the NFL, not a starting quarterback in the NFL. Both of those teams know they have signed backup quarterbacks. All right, maybe those guys will start for them this year, but Andy Dalton at this point in his career is a backup quarterback. Ryan Fitzpatrick, for basically his entire career, has been a backup quarterback. Ryan Fitzpatrick's like Vinny Johnson. He's the microwave. You bring him off the bench, short spurts, he ignites your team. If you play a full season with Ryan Fitzpatrick, you are below 500. The only time Ryan Fitzpatrick's played more than like seven games in the NFL for any team in a season and been above 500 is the 1 year he went 10-6 with the Jets. That was it. He's been a below 500 quarterback if he plays more than a handful of games, a below 500 quarterback everywhere else in the NFL. So the idea to me that the guys in Chicago and the guys in Washington are sitting around their conference tables and saying to themselves, we're good. Like, we didn't get Russell Wilson. We may not be able to draft a quarterback in Washington. Might not be high enough, obviously, being a playoff team. So we're good. We've got Ryan Fitzpatrick and Andy Dalton. Because if I'm the owner of either of those teams, I am walking into the conference room and saying to my general manager and my scouts, guys, really? Like, that's what you're giving me? The most important position in the NFL, arguably the most important position in sports. That's what you're offering up. Because you know what? If that's the best you can do, you're fired. And I'm going to go out and get somebody that can do a better job at getting a quarterback for me than you guys have done. Because that's not good enough. Andy Dalton's not good enough. And everybody loves Fitz. He's a great story. Ryan Fitzpatrick is not good enough. If he is your starting quarterback, you are signing up for 500 or below. 15 years in the NFL. 1 year, he was an above 500 quarterback. And even that year, he didn't go to the playoffs. And that's if he's starting more than a handful of games. So that's why I think it is insane to think that either of those organizations, by an Andy Dalton signing or a Ryan Fitzpatrick signing, are now out of the business of maybe entertaining a Sam Darnold trade. Sam Darnold should absolutely be on the radar for those teams. If he's not, then those general managers are bad at their jobs and are not doing their jobs. Okay, so that's number one. To me, that's one spoke. The Jets with Sam Darnold possibly sit very interestingly, I think, with teams that right now are bringing in stopgap guys at quarterback, he, I still think, has a career out in front of him and is not going to be a stopgap guy. All right. The other area where the Jets, I think, are very much in play as far as the quarterback conversation, the obvious one, they've got the number two pick. So if they decide to move on from Sam Darnold, they control the quarterback draft. They're either going to take Zach Wilson or I guess maybe Justin Fields, although it certainly seems to be trending in the Zach Wilson direction. If they don't, they still control the quarterback draft because they're taking that second pick and they're going to trade it to somebody who wants a quarterback and hopefully create a bidding war among teams that would be desperate to move up to number two to get a quarterback. And then really the other spoke that the Jets control in this role is, and I've heard now rumors that, you know, people think the Patriots are positioning themselves to try and go get Deshaun Watson. Here's another GM to fire. If Nick Caserio trades Deshaun Watson anywhere other than the Jets, you can make a very strong argument he should be fired for not getting the best deal that he could get. Because if the Jets have the second pick in the draft and you go somewhere else and you don't end up with the replacement for Deshaun Watson, and to me, there's another guy that has been signed, I think, as a stopgap option, and that's Tyrod Taylor. There's no way Nick Caserio and anybody in that front office in Houston is now sitting around going, all right, we may lose Deshaun Watson, but we're good. For the next 5 years, we've got our guy, and it's Tyrod Taylor. I think Tyrod Taylor is a better option than Andy Dalton. He's probably a better option than Ryan Fitzpatrick. But I think he is somewhere in between the absolute career backup, potentially being a guy that could fill in, come off the bench, be the microwave like Ryan Fitzpatrick, and a legit full-time regular starter. You know, there's a gray area. Tyrod Taylor falls somewhere in that gray area. Maybe you can get away with him for a season or two if you've got the developmental quarterback behind him, but Tyrod Taylor is not a long-term option either. All right, so the Jets, to me, are a team that checks three boxes here. They can factor in, I think, to Washington and Chicago, and maybe trade Sam Darnold there. They could potentially keep Sam Darnold, make him their starter, deal the number two pick. They could use the number two pick on a quarterback and control the draft that way, or they can use the number two pick, use Sam Darnold potentially, use the rest of their draft ammunition, which is better than anybody else because they've got the second pick and the Seattle picks to go with it and their future number one. And still, I think a Deshaun Watson trade is very much a possibility. And I know for a fact that inside the offices with the Jets, all of these different scenarios are being talked about. All right, nothing has been crossed off. Nothing is off the table. All right, there is an internal debate going on about Sam Darnold. I get the feeling like the organization is not in love with Sam Darnold. I get the feeling that the organization is still in like with Sam Darnold. I do think they think that Sam can be a long-term starter in the NFL, but I also think they believe that looking at this rookie class and whether or not they can be better than Sam and resetting the financial clock as a result, something they have to look at, and they, I think, are also very much laying in wait to see what happens with Deshaun Watson. And if at some point Houston comes to their senses and realizes that trading Deshaun Watson is probably the least awful of all of the awful outcomes, right? Keeping a player on your roster and forcing him to play when he absolutely has no desire to be there, or the nuclear option, the worst case scenario for everyone involved would be to have Deshaun Watson sit out for a year. All right, don't, if there's a cautionary tale there, don't do the Le'Veon Bell thing. Don't sit out for a year. Don't lose your edge. Don't become a different player when you don't play football for a year. Le'Veon Bell was arguably the most explosive, versatile running back in the NFL. He sat out a year, came back, was not the same, and is never going to be the same again. And to me, if I'm Deshaun Watson and I'm Houston, there's a cautionary tale there where Deshaun Watson sits out for a year, loses that edge, isn't the same player when he comes back, and leaves, and the Texans get nothing for him. You absolutely can't lose Deshaun Watson for nothing. So I think the Jets are sitting there. It's a game of chicken, right? When at some point is Houston going to arrive at the realization that you have to move this player? He is not playing for you, and you just have to take the best worst-case scenario. There are only worst-case scenarios when you get an unhappy player of this magnitude. You know you got to move him, but what's the least worst-case scenario? The least worst case scenario is to trade him for the best package that you can get back. That's not coming from New England. The Patriots are never going to be able to put together the ammunition to give you the best package for this player. If you take their package and you don't give the Jets a chance to counteroffer with the second pick in the draft as the jumping off point, then Nick Caserio should be fired too. So we're just firing everybody. If Washington crosses Sam Darnold off their list because they've got Ryan Fitzpatrick, that's malpractice. If the Bears cross Sam Darnold off their list because they've got Andy Dalton, that's malpractice. And if the Houston Texans decide that, you know, they can get a better offer somewhere for Deshaun Watson than the Jets can give them, then they're not doing their jobs either. And that's why I think the Jets are, you know, not necessarily the center of the quarterback universe, but the combination of having Sam Darnold and the number two pick in the draft, you control a lot of these different quarterback scenarios, and they touch all of these different stories. And I'm going to be fascinated to see how it all plays out. I'll talk to you about it at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. That is the Straight Talk brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Let's get right to the phones and squeeze in some calls, because the bottom of the hour, Rich Cimini is going to join us. He covers the Jets for ESPN, so I'll be very interested to see what he thinks about what happened in Chicago, what happened in Washington, ultimately what's going to happen with Deshaun Watson and the Houston Texans, and how all of that plays into how the Jets are approaching these situations as well. And again, I will tell you, because I know firsthand, they are having a constant conversation inside the Jets facility about what if. And because there are so many what ifs, they just have not come to a consensus. You know, and maybe the least likely is keeping Darnold as the starting quarterback and trading the number two pick. But the moment someone comes into a room and says, guys, we got to trade Sam Darnold, we have to keep the number one pick, we have to use it on Zach Wilson, someone else comes to the room and says, what if? What if someone else called us and said, we'll give you four number one picks or three number one picks and a two, one of those monster packages for the second pick in the draft, almost like they're trading up for the first pick in the draft. What if? What if someone's that desperate for Zach Wilson? What if someone's that desperate for Justin Fields? They feel like they've got to jump up, leave you somewhere else in the top 10. You know, maybe the Denver Broncos, we can't do the Drew Lock thing going forward. We have a top 10 pick. We will give you our top 10 pick this year. We'll give you our one next year. We'll give you our one after that. We'll give you a two. We'll give you this monster package because we feel like we have to go up to two to get our quarterback right now. That's the most important thing. What if? And because there are so many of those what ifs, they don't have a consensus yet. Sam Darnold could conceivably still be the Jets starting quarterback next year. It is possible. I do think that that is becoming a less likely scenario as time goes by and as they get deeper into the draft process and they look at these young quarterbacks. But what if? Let's get to the phones at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Let's start things off with Calvin in San Antonio. He joins us first here on Bart and Hahn on ESPN Radio. Bob with Shoes and filling in for the guys. What is up, Calvin?
What's up, guys? I wanted to talk about Washington is my team. And when I heard the Fitzpatrick signing, I started doing some digging. And it's one reason I would be okay with them signing Fitzpatrick. They could be using him as bait to land one of the best receivers that's still left in free agency, like a Galladay or possibly Curtis Samuel. Because what I read was he has more targets to top receivers than any other QB receiver combo. And if that's why they chose him, I'll be okay with that. If that's not why they chose him, the least they can do.
Calvin, here's the thing. But here's the thing you're missing. What I got you. What you're missing though is you're answering a question that is only answerable for this year. You're just talking about this season. You're not talking about the future. And no team wants to be in a position where, when the quarterback is concerned, the only thing they're talking about is this year. You're right. Ryan Fitzpatrick is a great deep ball thrower. Maybe a free agent wide receiver sees, you know, an opportunity to come here because they didn't spend a ton of money on Ryan Fitzpatrick. There's more money on the table for a good deep ball thrower. And I'm, you know, one of these free agent wide receivers, of which there are a bunch still on the market, and I'll pick Washington. I understand what you're thinking, but no general manager worth his salt is sitting there going, you know what, let's deal with next year as far as the quarterback is concerned. We're just going to stick Ryan Fitzpatrick in there and have no plans for the future. Because if you're doing that, then you are really doing a disservice to your organization at that position. Let's get Jimmy in Staten Island in next year on ESPN Radio. Bob Wischusen sitting in for Martin Hahn. Hey, Jimmy.
Hey, what's going on, Bob? Good afternoon. How you doing? Hello?
Doing great.
Hello? Oh, I'm sorry. So I wanted to talk about, as far as when it comes down to the Jets, trading Sam Darnold, I think that may be the best bet for the organization. And the reason why I say that, because you also have to put into play that, this is Robert Saleh's first year. You know, let's say if, you know, they keep Sam and he stinks it up. You want to draft your own guys. And I think that, Sam, honestly, I mean, I think that he would do justice somewhere else, you know, because New York, the next thing is if he throws a couple of interceptions or, you know, he just doesn't look good, then now we're calling for his job again. We're back to square one. So, you know, and then that draft stock also, you know, that trade also stops, you know, it goes to waste. So, I mean, honestly, I just think that Sam, you know, being traded, would probably be the best bet for the organization because it allows them to start that clock over again and it allows Robert Saleh to also have his own guy. So what's your opinion on that?
Yeah, resetting the quarterback clock financially is a very, very important thing. Thanks for the call. I 100% agree with you that is something that is a major consideration when dealing with a quarterback. Having said that, though, if you keep Sam Darnold, you're not keeping him with the idea that, well, what if he stinks? What do we do then? If that thought even enters your mind, you're moving on from him. The only reason you're keeping Sam Darnold is because you still think he can be really good. And I'll tell you right now, it is amazing to me the number of quarterbacks around the NFL that people are willing to give like a pass to or act like they can be a reclamation project, like say a Jameis Winston right now in New Orleans. You know, there's this idea that Jameis Winston has earned a second chance in New Orleans, but that Sam Darnold should just be thrown on the scrap heap. Jameis Winston threw 30 interceptions when he was throwing to Brate and to Godwin and to Evans. When has Sam Darnold ever in one game had a Mike Evans to throw the ball to? When has he ever had a Chris Godwin? When has he ever had a good offensive line? I mean, give Sam Darnold a game, much less a season, with weapons like that. And if he throws 30 interceptions, okay. Well, then maybe you could turn around and say, and even still off of that, Jameis Winston is getting a second chance. So if you think Jameis Winston is worth a reclamation project, even with all of those weapons, you saw what you saw. Sam Darnold's never played a game with legit top-notch NFL weapons. Never won. Doesn't he deserve a chance to do that, to actually be like judged correctly? See what Rich Cimini thinks about it when we come back as we continue with our Straight Talk brought to you by My Computer Career, training for a better life here on Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio. And for DIY projects, you know the Home Depot is always in your corner. And with the mobile app, the Home Depot can also be in the palm of your hand. With digital tools like image search, just a snap of a picture of something, the app will recognize it, serve up product suggestions in just seconds. And the Home Depot's product locator will check availability as well and lead you right into it. The Home Depot mobile app. Download it today to get started. Only from the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Bob Wischusen sitting in for the guys. It's Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, the app, your smart speaker as well. We'll talk to Rich Cimini when we come back about this entire quarterback carousel and how the Jets factor into it and where Sam Darnold may end up. That's next on ESPN Radio.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Bart and Han.
ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $750 on average. Bob Wischus in for Bart and Han on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus. A lot of quarterback carousels moving in the NFL, and I really think the Jets could be at the center of all of it before it's said too long. Rich Cimini covers the Jets for ESPN and ESPN.com, and he joins us now here on the Goodyear Hotline. And Rich, it's a boring time of year, I'm sure, for somebody that's got to cover the NFL. It's amazing. This is the different quarterback names that are bouncing back and forth in every possible direction. Where do you ultimately think Sam Darnold fits into all of this? And were any of the moves yesterday prohibitive to him going to one of those destinations?
Yeah, I mean, a great question, Bob. Thanks for having me on. In fact, I have a story that'll be posting very shortly on ESPN.com about how these recent moves affect Sam. And so Winston, Fitzpatrick, Andy Dalton, all getting one-year deals, probably to be bridge starters in their teams. And, I think Sam's market, if in fact he's being on the trading block, I think his market is dwindling. I mean, those are teams that were thought to be perhaps potential suitors for Darnold, but I don't see the case anymore. I still think there's a chance Sam will get traded. You know, there's still some dominoes to fall here. I mean, Russell Wilson situation in Seattle, Deshaun Watson in Houston. So I don't think the quarterback market is settled by any means. And you're right. I mean, I think the Jets are still deciding what to do. I mean, they're still evaluating some of these incoming quarterbacks before they make a final decision on Sam.
Yep, I think you're 1,000% right. I think all of those scenarios are being discussed inside their offices. But let me just, before we get to Deshaun Watson and how this could still all play out with him, because I want your take on that. How is it possible that if you don't get Russell Wilson and you're Ryan Pace, you sign Andy Dalton and that then crosses Sam Darnold off your list? I mean, has Sam's value or the perception of what he could still be as a player fallen so far that the Bears are saying, you know what, we didn't get Russell Wilson, we're not even thinking about Sam Darnold, we've got Andy Dalton, we're good?
Yeah, well, I mean, the way you phrase it, it just makes it sound like a ridiculous thought. But I think teams, you know how teams get when free agency starts, they panic a little bit, and they want to secure things, they want insurance, they want, you know, to be in a little bit of a comfort zone. So the Jets aren't ready to make a call on Sam yet, and I think they've told teams that, saying, hey, look, we want to go to all these pro days. We want to have a chance to, you know, watch Zach Wilson on March 26th at BYU up close and personal and watch him throw. And so a team like the Bears is like, well, we didn't get Russell. We're not waiting around, you know, till the end of the month to figure out if Sam's going to be available. We got to secure something, so they give $10 million to Andy Dalton, which I'm sure is an extremely popular move in city of Chicago right now. But that's why teams are doing stuff like that. I guess they just don't feel that Sam is good enough to wait around for. And there's no guarantee that he will be available as we get closer to the draft.
And I agree with you. I mean, they may be backing themselves up with a stopgap like Ryan Fitzpatrick in Washington, I think, is exactly the same kind of move that Andy Dalton in Chicago is. I'm just bothered by the fact, and I'm just disagreeing with the fact, that it seems to be portrayed differently. It's being portrayed like, all right, cross off Washington, cross off Chicago. The Jets can't make a move there because they've got Ryan Fitzpatrick and Andy Dalton. And to me, it would be ridiculous. It's malpractice to think that you're good at quarterback. All right, we didn't get Russell Wilson. We got Andy Dalton. We're good. How would getting a career backup at this point for $10 million prohibit you from making a different quarterback move? I mean, to me, that would be so short-sighted. That's just bad GMing, for lack of a better phrase.
Yeah, well, I agree with you on the Chicago situation. I mean, obviously, they're going to look to draft someone, you know, and they're in the middle of the first round, so they're in kind of a no man's land there in terms of the draft as well. So they might have to make a move to get one of these quarterbacks, because you know there's going to be about four quarterbacks that go off the board in the first seven or eight picks. And so I think Washington's in a different situation there, Bob. You know, I think, you know, they're obviously a playoff team, albeit, you know, in a very bad division last year, with a no doubt a playoff caliber defense. And I think Ryan Fitzpatrick is good enough, you know, to keep them competitive this year. I think Ryan probably gives you a better chance to win games than Sam does right now. I like Sam's long-term potential, but I think Ryan could come in and, you know, granted Ryan is, you know, he has some really good days and sometimes he'll throw three picks, but you know, I think he's a better, you know, for the short term for them. So I understand why they made that move.
Rich, real quick before I let you go, how do you think the Deshaun Watson thing plays out? Does he get moved? How long does it take? And is there any way that he gets moved and the Jets aren't, I would think, Houston's first call, or maybe better put, their last call, because they've got the second pick in the draft, and I would think that would be the biggest piece of bait to throw in the water for a team to try, you know, and get a Deshaun Watson?
Yeah, I mean, I do think he'll get traded. I've always felt that. I mean, I lived this situation on a smaller scale last year with Jamal Adams and the Jets. You know, for months, all we heard was, you know, we're not trading Jamal. He's going to be here for life. And then the next thing you know, they traded Jamal. So I think Houston, on a much larger scale, because it's a franchise quarterback, is going to be in the same position. They could say publicly what they want, but when it comes right down to it, I think they'll just realize that they have to start over, and the best for their sake, you know, in the best interest of the team, is to get rid of a malcontent and get as much as they can for him. And the Jets are in the catbird seat. I mean, they're sitting there at number two, and if I'm Joe Douglas, I would definitely call Nick Caserio and offer that number two pick. I mean, that is the surefire way for Houston to get a replacement for Deshaun Watson. They're not going to get Trevor Lawrence, but they could get the next best quarterback in the draft. Now, of course, it's going to take more than just the number two pick. And that's where I think that Joe Douglas may draw the line. I don't think he's the type of guy who's going to offer three number ones and Quinnen Williams, which is some of the wild speculation being thrown out there. I just don't think that's in Joe's DNA as a team builder, but I do think he'll make an offer. And if you could get him for the number two pick and maybe something a little extra, then why not take a shot at it?
Yep, I totally agree with you. Rich, you're the best. I look forward to seeing you like in person someday again. Thanks.
Someday in a press box soon, let's hope.
Thanks, Rich. I appreciate that. It's Rich Cimini, brought to you by Goodyear, celebrating March deal days with month-long service and savings. Visit GoodyearAutoservice.com for offers. The tournament's finally here as well. DraftKings is the leader in one-day fantasy, celebrating with $1 million in total prizes up for grabs when you enter the free DraftKings $1 million Survivor Pool. You get a shot at winning $10,000 for every upset throughout the first two rounds of the tournament. Get in on all of this week's action. Download the DraftKings app and enter code BART to sign up for the free $1 million Survivor Pool. That's BART. Enter the DraftKings free $1 million Survivor Pool. Eligibility restrictions and terms and conditions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. 888-SAY-ESPN. More calls before the top of the hour. Then Ryan Clark at the top of the hour. Bob Bush is sitting in for Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Bart and Hahn.
Moves. You know who made a move? It was Trent Williams. $138 million. He pulled like the anti-Le'Veon Bell. He sat out a year doing what Deshaun Watson is now trying to do, forced his way out of Washington, and was able to parlay that into becoming the highest paid offensive lineman in the history of the NFL. That is the way you make a move. So making moves, congratulations to Trent Williams, because $138 million with $55 million guaranteed, that works. And you know, the theory I was using about Deshaun Watson not playing that game of chicken, taking the nuclear option and sitting out a year because you're afraid, I think maybe Le'Veon Bell becomes the case study where, you know, you're just not the same player, don't look like the same player, don't perform at that same level, and probably never be the same player again. Trent Williams is not only the same player, but he got paid Like he's the best offensive lineman or highest cost offensive lineman in history. So that is the definition of making moves. Bob Wischusen in for Bart and Hahn on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Squeeze another call in here at 888-SAY-ESPN before the top of the hour. John Mount Sinai joins us next here. Bob Wischusen again sitting in for Bart and Hahn on ESPN Radio. Hey, John.
Yeah, I'm thinking why isn't anyone talking about Jacksonville and the Texans? I think that's a perfect trade. You get a maybe guarantee, you know, great quarterback out of Lawrence, and you have a top five quarterback going the other way. I don't know why they don't talk about that. Why is it out of the question?
I think you're right. I think that is a worthy discussion, but I think Urban Meyer came back to take that job to draft Trevor Lawrence. I think he thinks Trevor Lawrence is better than Deshaun Watson. I think he thinks Trevor Lawrence is a transcendent talent and that Trevor Lawrence is the absolute no doubt about it first pick in the draft. And I'm not saying that, you know, you can't make a very strong argument that franchise quarterback for franchise quarterback, that if Deshaun Watson was in this draft right now, you backed him up, you reset the quarterback financial clock on Deshaun Watson, knowing what we know about him now, would he potentially be the number one pick in the draft, and could there be debate between he and Trevor Lawrence? Yeah, there probably could be. But I think the idea that, A, you get Trevor Lawrence, who everyone that I think are 9 out of 10 that have looked at this draft think this is Andrew Luck, Peyton Manning, John Elway, that level of a prospect, A. And B, you get him cheap for 4 years. Deshaun Watson comes in. I mean, he's already signed a contract. You got to pay him. So I don't see Urban doing that, but I do understand why talent for talent, it's not a bad thought.
You have to pay Watson now.
John, let's – oh, go ahead, John.
It'll be cheaper doing that than paying Lawrence later. And if Lawrence don't work out, now you're out of luck anyway. You have a proven quarterback. You're already paying him.
Yeah, I understand what you're. Yeah, I understand what you're saying. I think the way that they're looking at it, though, is that the salary cap is going to explode with the next television deal. So, like, I do think that even if you're paying Trevor Lawrence later, the dollars will still be cheaper to pay him later than to pay Deshaun Watson now. So I'm not saying it's a bad idea. I think from a talent perspective, you can absolutely make the argument that Deshaun Watson to Trevor Lawrence is a fair comparison in terms of what you think the ceiling is for both guys. But when you factor in financial clock and just, you know, I think what everybody thinks Trevor Lawrence is going to be, I think Urban Meyer took that job to go to Jacksonville and draft Trevor Lawrence. Bob Wischusen again sitting in for Bart and Hahn, ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Talk to Ryan Clark coming up next in hour number two.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Hahn podcast. You can listen live to Bart and Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN Plus. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.